Please take your Bible this morning and open to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and verse number 36. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and verse number 36. This particular passage is speaking about a time after the crucifixion, after the burial, after the resurrection, and Jesus meets with his disciples. And he's encouraging them here in the text that we're going to read to be his witnesses. And that's the topic we're going to talk about today. The Bible speaks about witnessing. Notice Luke 24, verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." I would like for you very much, if you would, to pay close attention to a couple of things in this text and hang on to this text, because we're going to end our sermon by rereading these words. But please notice, as he's talking with them, verse 45 says, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to know you as our Lord and Savior, and help us to realize afresh and anew that you have left us here on this earth to be your witnesses. Most all of us, I think, would rather be in heaven than to be here on earth. There are things, of course, we'd like to see accomplished yet. There's no doubt about that. But when we think about heaven and how wonderful it is, I speak for myself now, I would rather be there than here. But I know that you've left us here, and you have a purpose in mind. And that purpose is that we might be your witnesses on this earth. So help us to consider that this morning, and help us, please, to do the best we can to be a witness for our Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the last several weeks, I've been delivering a set of sermons that I thought would be just four, and I've decided to add some more to it. Again, I hope you don't mind about that, but the messages begin with this idea and a title: The Bible Speaks About, and then whatever fill in the blank is. So far, my messages have been these: The Bible Speaks About Itself, and then The Bible Speaks About Christian Growth, and then The Bible Speaks About the Home. Last week, The Bible Speaks About Prayer. Today, I want to talk to you about witnessing. The Bible Speaks About Witnessing. And I think this is an important topic because that's why the Lord left us here, to be his witnesses. Witnessing for our Savior is, I think, one of the primary reasons why We're still here and not in heaven. So many people need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. All of us should try our very best to be a witness of the salvation that we have received, of the Savior who gave it to us, made it possible for us to have it, but also witnessing of the fact that He is coming again, and their time might be very short. Before I get into my outline per se, I wanted you to notice verse 45 of our text says, "Then opened He their understanding." Please notice that Jesus is talking with His disciples and they don't understand. Let it sink in for just a little bit. Jesus is talking with His disciples and they, His disciples, don't yet understand. Pastor, why are you emphasizing that? Because as we witness to unsaved people, how can we expect them to understand? Does that make sense? If somebody who already knows the Lord as their Savior, like the disciples, if they're having a hard time grasping what He's saying and they don't understand, why is it that we think when we talk to somebody who's unsaved that they're going to immediately understand what we're talking about? There's a very good chance they won't, unless, as the Bible says here, God opens their understanding. This is so important. When you speak to a neighbor or a friend or a loved one and you're trying to explain the way of salvation to them and they don't get it, try not to get frustrated. Try not to get overwhelmed. Try not to, because sometimes we do this. Boy, if I could just come up with the magic verse, you know. If I could just come up with the right illustration. If I could just come up with this or that or the other. Friend, it's not that. It's God opening their understanding. And until God opens their understanding, they're not going to understand. That's one thing I wanted to point out from our text. And again, hang on to this because we are going to finish up the message with this. "Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." You can see there the death on the cross, the burial, the resurrection. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Notice, please, repentance is important, and remission or forgiveness of sins is important, and preaching it in His name is important, and by the way, for all nations. Not just America, but all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, that's right where you live. Beginning right where you live. And then verse 48, "And ye," the disciples, "and ye are witnesses of these things." I want to speak to you this morning on this topic. The Bible speaks about witnessing, and I'm taking a little different approach than I've ever used before when I talked to you this morning about witnessing. I'm going to give you three main thoughts. First, the meaning of Christian witnessing illustrated. The meaning of Christian witnessing illustrated. Number two, the motives for witnessing to the unsaved. And then number three, the resources for witnessing today. So number one thought is this, the meaning of Christian witnessing illustrated. And again, taking a little bit different approach this morning, I hope this will help. But I would like for you to think about the things that I'm going to say right here. The word witness, I think, defines the ministry of John the Baptist. You've heard me say many times behind the pulpit up here, the day when Jesus was being presented to the people of Israel and John the Baptist standing there, I think this is John chapter 1, perhaps verse 29, I think. But I see him looking at the horizon, Jesus coming, and I see John the Baptist pointing. It doesn't say this, but in my mind's eye, I see him pointing towards Jesus coming towards them when he says this, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And throughout the ministry of John the Baptist, he would remind people all the time, "Look, I'm not the Messiah. I've come to prepare the way for the Messiah. My life is all about preparing the way for the Lord Jesus, who is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. My job, my ministry, is to prepare the way for him. And if you think about what you know about John the Baptist's ministry, it was very short. God didn't have him on the earth as a witness for very long. It wouldn't be long, of course, he would be arrested, and we know from Scripture he was beheaded. But his life, even in that shortened time span, I think defines the ministry of witnessing. Because again, it was all about introducing people to the Savior. And that's what witnessing is all about. Introducing people to the Savior. I mentioned earlier about funerals. To me, that's a perfect time to talk about salvation and heaven and hell and, you know, all those kind of things. I do this also at weddings. All the weddings that I've ever performed, I've always included the gospel. Always. Because, again, you've got a captive audience. Listen, where are they going to go? They're there because they're honoring the bride and the groom, and they want to be a part of that. And, of course, most of us as Baptists, if there's free food, we're there. So, again, the meal's after the service, so where are they going to go? They're going to hang around. You got a captive audience. And so why not explain to them the way of salvation and take that opportunity? There are other times like that in life, and that's what being a witness is all about, just introducing people to the Savior. Introducing people to the Savior. So the word witness, I think, defines the ministry of John the Baptist. I think it also defines the ministry of the Lord Jesus. By the way, here's another example of a man who didn't walk the earth for all that long. His life was cut short at about 33 years of age. And his public ministry was only 3 years. But what was he all about? He was all about introducing, of course, himself and God the Father to anyone who would listen. Just doing his best to witness for God. And share the fact that you can come to know God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, Jesus would say, that's me. I'm going to give my life on the cross. I'll be buried. I'll rise again the third day. I'm doing that all for you. I want you to have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That, again, speaks about witnessing and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, 3 years is not a long time. I've often thought about this concerning, you know, myself and the time that I've been doing what I'm doing. If you count the years that I was an assistant pastor and then the senior pastor, it's 48 years now that I've been doing this. That's a lot of sermons. That's a lot of sermons. I wonder sometimes why my wife never gets tired of listening, because she's been with me through it all. And I don't know if you've ever watched her or not, but at least she appears to be interested. She's there, she's smiling, she's laughing, she's nodding her head, she's, you know, right there with me, and I'm always thankful for that. If I look out over the audience and it doesn't look like anyone else is listening, I can look at Sarah, and I know someone's listening. She's very good that way. But a lot of sermons throughout all those years. And then I think about the Lord Jesus being his life cut off at about 33 years of age and only having a 3-year public ministry. That's a whole lot different than what I've done. And please understand, I'm not saying I'm doing more or greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, but just in comparison, it's a long time. It's a long time. You know what I'm noticing? I'm noticing a lot of things that I've known about and been involved with are in the recent time period coming up upon their 50th anniversary. I've already had my 50th high school reunion. Went to that. You can have it, but anyway. Went to that. And so many other things, like the camping program that we're going to, you know, that first week of August, that's the 50th anniversary for that particular camping program. And there's the 50th anniversary of this and the 50th anniversary of that, and some of them even longer, you know. Like they were showing about the moon landing recently. you know, because July 20th, and they walked on the moon and so forth, and, you know, different things that have come up, and it's like, wow, my wife's getting old. No, I don't think about my wife getting old. I think about me getting old. Because all these different milestones are coming up upon 50 or 50 plus years. And that means you lived long enough, you saw that happen, and now you're still here. That's a long time. That's not at all in my notes, by the way, either. But the ministry of witnessing, that's John the Baptist, it's the Lord Jesus. By the way, it's also the disciples. You know this if you read your Bible, and I'm sure that you have. Jesus took his disciples and he sent them out two by two. And one point in the Gospels, there's 70 of them that he sent out two by two. And they came back and they rehearsed all that God did with them and so forth. And then when Jesus, you remember this also, he was ascending up into heaven, Acts chapter 1. He told his disciples to go forth and be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In our text today, he talked about the fact that ye are my witnesses. That was the ministry of the disciples, wasn't it? Just go out there and tell other people about me. Introduce them to me. Well, I think the word witness defines the ministry of John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, the disciples. How about the Apostle Paul? God, I think, used the Apostle Paul in writing the New Testament and starting New Testament churches a lot more than he did most other of those who loved him and followed him. And the Apostle Paul was used to write a vast majority of the New Testament, start many churches, take at least three missionary journeys, and do a lot of wonderful work for the Lord. Wouldn't that describe his life? Witnessing. Just telling others about Jesus. The word witness also defines the ministry of all the believers that were at one time found in the church at Jerusalem. You know, that church in Jerusalem grew to be very, very large. Until persecution came and then scattered them throughout. Because God didn't want them to stay in Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. He wanted them out there, everywhere, doing what? Being a witness. Just telling other people about Jesus. Friend, that's all witnessing is. And the Lord wants all of us to be a witness for him. The meaning of Christian witnessing, illustrated by John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, the disciples, the Apostle Paul, the believers in the church at Jerusalem, and even you and I today. All right? Second main thought this morning is this: the motives for witnessing to the unsaved. The motives for witnessing to the unsaved. You know, those early disciples, I mentioned them just a minute ago, witnessed because, and this is shown in the scriptures, they witnessed to others about Jesus, told others about Jesus because of the joy that they felt after having been cleansed of their sin, forgiven of their sin, and given salvation. Just simply the joy that they felt. They were excited and they talked about, especially those that God used to write other books in the New Testament, they talked about the joy that they had for following the Lord Jesus. Their sins are forgiven. Their names are in the Lamb's Book of Heaven. Heaven is their home, and they have God watching over them. The joy that they felt because of that, that was a good reason that they had, a motive that they had to be a witness. I wonder this morning, in the year in which we live, do most Christians that you know have real joy? Or, and I think this is true, some lack that joy. Friend, you and I, who are born again, we should be some of the happiest people on earth. That doesn't mean things won't ever get us down. That doesn't mean things won't ever disappoint us. That doesn't mean that things won't ever, you know, put a frown on our face instead of a smile. But overall, our life should be characterized by joy. We have something to be joyful about, don't we? just a few things, just real quick. I woke up this morning. Amen. By the way, when I woke up, I was laying in a nice bed. My fingers all work. My hands, my legs, my arms, my ears, my eyes, my mind, my heart, my lungs, all that still works. I was able to sit, as we normally do on Sunday mornings, on the side of the bed with my wife. She is sitting on her side, me sitting on my side, and we had our family devotions together before we came over. Read the Bible and prayed together. That's something to be happy about and joyful about. I live in a nice house. I wear nice clothes. I'm pastor of a nice church. People love me, and if you don't, please don't tell me, but people love me, and they pray for me, and they encourage me. I have a lot to be thankful for. Whenever my life is over, I have a wonderful place that I'm headed for, called heaven. I have plenty of loved ones and friends already there waiting. I'm going to see them all again very soon. I have joy, and that's one of the reasons why I should be willing to be a witness for my Savior. The early disciples witnessed because of that joy. The early disciples also witnessed because they felt that that was a proper response to the lordship of Christ in their life. In other words, this thought, Jesus has done so much for me, I can certainly be a witness for Him. The proper response to the lordship of Christ in their life. The early disciples witnessed because they felt the Holy Spirit leading them to do so. Anyone who knows the Lord as their Savior has the Spirit of God living inside. And friend, if you've never heard that still small voice telling you to talk to someone about Jesus, I'm concerned for you. Because as a Christian, the Spirit of God living inside is that still small voice that does encourage us to talk to others about Jesus. The early disciples witnessed because of the joy, because of the proper response to the lordship of Christ, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The early disciples witnessed because they saw and felt the great need in the unsaved world around them. Ooh, there's a lot of people that need to know the Lord. In fact, yesterday, in this very room, this is just my opinion, I could be wrong, but this is what I sensed in this very room. There were more people who did not know the Lord than did. Brother Winston, would you agree with that? There were a lot of folks here, friends and family of the Lathrop family, who did not know the Lord as their Savior. Now, you can, speaking of myself, you can let that intimidate you, or you can say to yourself, you know what? What an opportunity. When will be the next time that I will have the opportunity to talk to all those individuals about the Lord? It might never happen again. So look at it as an opportunity and share the gospel. Do it kindly and sweetly, but share it and give people that opportunity. So the great need of the unsaved world around them, the motives for witnessing to the unsaved. The early disciples, I think, were good examples here. The joy that they felt, the proper response to the lordship of Christ they felt, the leadership of the Holy Spirit they felt, and the need that they felt as they looked around the unsaved world around them. So number one, the meaning of the Christian witnessing illustrated. Number two, the motives for witnessing to the unsaved. My last main thought this morning is this: the resources for witnessing today. Again, just a little different approach, but the resources for witnessing today, I got several thoughts here. First, we can relate to others our personal experience of receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. What I'm talking about here is our personal testimony. Sharing your personal testimony. Kathy Thode, I don't think you probably have an idea. Maybe you do. But I happen to know that your personal testimony was recorded in an unshackled program. Do you have any idea how many times that program has been shared or aired or... Because it's not only at, you know, unshackled, but it's hasn't it been put on CD and other things and shared with numerous people? I mean, here's just one example, okay? Can you imagine what heaven will be like when the Lord Jesus says to Kathy Thody, your testimony from Unshackled was shared with, and he gives this exorbitant number of people who got to hear how God saved her. Personal testimony. Personal testimony. I think about those 48 years of ministry and all the sermons that I've delivered and all the different times that I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with people, both personally, one-on-one, or in a church-type setting. There's been lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of times. Just through our church's website, because we put up there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night right now. And I just checked the other day, and I went back throughout the last 12 months. Every month, thousands of people visit Stoughton Baptist Church's website. Now, I realize some of them are short. You know, they're just a short visit. Others are listening to different sermons. So, hard as it is to believe, it's true. There's people that have listened and visited the website from Russia, from Iran, from China, from various countries around the world. Countries that you might not even be able to ever get to, but have gone to the website and listened or looked at or saw different things that were there. Again, some of them have the time on there, and some of them are very short, but some of them are longer. And I'm just giving these things as personal examples. And you have examples like this that you could share also of just sharing your personal testimony. Just telling others what the Lord has done for you. Just talking about, you know, here's how the Lord saved me. That is a resource for witnessing to others. Pastor, I'm not well spoken. I've never been to school. I never like speech. I don't like getting in front of people. Friend, there are ways that you can witness that don't involve getting up in front of a crowd of people. And you can write it down and you can share it, or you can make a recording and you can share it. There's lots of ways you can do this. We can relate to others our personal experience of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can also relate to others our personal experience of the truth and dependability of the Scriptures. Don't be afraid to tell people that you trust the Bible. I shared this with you recently, but we were in the doctor's office during one of Sarah's recent visits, and there was this, I guess you'd call it a doctor's aide or a nurse's aide, and then another understudy with this person, and we were talking about, you know, we wanted to get Sarah's surgery done before September so that she's healed and well enough to go on our vacation around our 50th wedding anniversary, they were young ladies. They both of them said, oh, 50 years. 50 years of marriage. How did you make it 50 years? Because so many people we know today, either they don't get married or they don't last 50 years. What's the secret? How did you make it 50 years? The first thing that came to mind, and that's what I said to him. First thing that came to mind, we both have a very strong faith in God. And I believe that has made a huge difference, don't you? I mean, look, you know, Sarah, how could you deal with someone like this if you didn't have a strong faith in God? Actually, and I mean this sincerely, I think it's the other way around. How could you deal with someone like this if you didn't have a strong faith in God? But sharing with others, you know, you trust in the Lord, you trust in His Word. We try to follow the Scriptures, and of course we talked about other things along that line too, but things that are recorded in Scripture and God's instructions for us and God's principles to live by and so forth. Don't be afraid to share that with other people. It's another means of witnessing. It's sharing your personal experience of the truth and dependability of the Scriptures. We can also relate to others our personal experience concerning answered prayer. I don't think it's wrong to tell people that you believe that God hears and answers prayer. Tell them. We pray. We take our request to the Lord and He answers. Share that with others. That's a witness for your Savior. We can relate to others our personal experience of the comfort and encouragement and guidance of the Spirit of God who lives within us. Tell them that God's always with you. Tell them that you know that. Tell them that He, like the songwriter said, He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. Share that with other people. We can relate to others our personal experience of the way that Jesus has satisfied that inner hunger we used to have that every unsaved person still has. He satisfied those inner longings. We can relate to others our personal experience of the peace and the assurance that we now enjoy concerning our future home in heaven. You know, it was referred to a little bit in a Sunday school hour. One of our class members mentioned all the turmoil that's going around us, and there's plenty of that, isn't there? But isn't it good to know the Lord? And that you can just walk with Him right through the midst of all this stuff, knowing that He's in charge and got control of everything? I hope you believe this. Nothing, and I mean this, nothing can happen to you or me without God's approval. We have in our audience this morning several widows who I know will testify of that very thing. Do they miss their spouse? Of course. But God has been good to them and walked with them and helped them. I know that because they've told me so. Again, just speaking about the personal experience of peace and assurance, not only now, but also that future home in heaven. So resources for witnessing, relating to others, basically your personal experiences with God and His Word. This morning, we're going to go back now to our text, Luke chapter 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them. You get the picture, don't you? Jesus' disciples in a room, this is the upper room, I'm pretty sure, and they're together and they're talking with one another. And as they're talking, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet. I think He wanted them to see the scars so that they would know it was Him. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, they're having a hard time accepting what they're seeing, and wondered, He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He reminded them of the scriptures that they already had. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. It would not be long, and Jesus would be with His disciples on a hillside and be taken up from them into heaven, as He would remind them again, the Spirit of God has come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And He keeps ascending up into heaven. And the angels, remember this? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I'm sorry, Mr. Angel, but I would have been gazing up into heaven too. I would have been watching as long as I possibly could. But why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And He basically told them, didn't our Lord tell you to do something? So let's get to it. I would like to encourage all of us with that same thought. Didn't the Lord give us a task to be His witnesses on this earth? So let's get to it. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. The Bible speaks about witnessing. I chose this passage. There are many I could have chosen, but Jesus himself saying it, "And ye are my witnesses of these things." Father in heaven, as we close the service in prayer today, thank you for the example of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus and the disciples and the Christians at Jerusalem and all those that we referred to today. They're a good example and a testimony to us. The Apostle Paul's included in there as well. Help us to be your witnesses, Lord. Sometimes we'll come up short, I know that. Sometimes we may get disappointed and discouraged because some don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen. They've got too many other things going on. But along the way, there are going to be a few who will listen, and they'll be so glad that we shared the gospel story with them. Help us to be better witnesses, Lord. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.